Thank you. ಸಹವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ಬಿಂಬಿಸಿದರೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಶಿವರಾಮಿಂದಾರ ಚಂದ್ರಿಕೆ ಶಿವ ಪ್ರಭು ಭಾರಿಕೆ Blessings and the pleasure of the great Vaishnavas is the essence of the return to come to this land today. Last night we discussed the first verse. Glorious of Lord Gauranga's Harinam Sankirtan movement are established in sea form. The Shikshastika comes at the culmination, the conclusion of the greatest medieval scripture compiled in Shikshatan Charitamrita. And the Vaishnavas convey their final wishes at the conclusion of their work, seeking the blessings of the Vaishnavas, past, present, and future. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, so very humbly, presents the most sophisticated, scientific narration and description of the Lord's Lila, but based on such logic and all the previous scriptural foundations. But the essence of it all, the Lord himself in his own final days included as a combination of instruction to the world in his own petition to Lord Sri Krishna for his pleasure. Nam nam kari bhagu nadi shasya kustatra dhanyana tasmada nina kala etar shittana kripa bhagavan namahe vidya dhyana nidhi shanahashi nakala. My Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. And to facilitate that purpose, you have hundreds of thousands and millions of unlimited names. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental potencies. That's the Siddhanta. And then the feeling, the emotion, the tremendous deep yearning in the heart of the Lord, which is trying to confer upon us. But I am so unfortunate. I is What's the translation of this word? You can release. It's an expression of wonder, like more than oh, it's more like wow. But it has such plaintive feeling to it. And Srila Prabhupada, in a similar mood, instructed us to chant holy name like child calling out for mother. Because you can't really develop love for someone unless you feel dependent on them. Mother Hara, who is the feminine of Hari, who is Radha in the vocative Hare, please take me to Krishna. The Sri Prahlada is very humble, sweet, and moving kirtan. I was thinking about today's topic, which I keep forgetting, something about seeds of devotion. This is a very tempting topic to present to a farm boy. Because really, that's one of the most profound ways of looking at Chaitanya Lila. Anyway, that we're aspiring Rupa Rupas following the footsteps. With the great aspiration become a speck of dust. The lotus feet of Sri Rupa, Sri Raghunath. But that speck of dust is not static, it's dynamic, it has a loving relationship and reciprocation. Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Swami Tami Nabhutle Swayam Rupa Kadavaya Dadati Swabhavati. Manovisnam, he understood that inner mood, which he elaborated on, in the course of which came that famous verse. I do not know. Now consider the context of this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami, hearing one verse from Sri Damodar and another one from Mahaprabhu at Rathyatra, it was like a seed in which the whole realization of what was going on at Kurukshetra and being reenacted in Rathyatra just blossomed in his meditation to such an extent that the Lord himself was amazed. My heart is so infinitely deep and profound, how could Rupa Goswami understand it? Sri Damodar gave the response affirmed by the great exalted devotees. It's only my explanation. He must receive your mercy. So it began with Rupa Goswami coming to Jagannath Puri, contemplating how he wanted to write a drama about all of Krishna's Arjuna's Krishna pastimes. But on the way, he spent one night in Satyamanapur. And while he was taking rest, a very beautiful celestial lady appeared to him, divine goddess, and told him, write a separate drama about me, and my mercy will be extraordinary and wonderful. When he woke up and contemplated, Bhagavan wants me to write a separate Dhamma about Krishna's Brajadeva and then this work. They shouldn't be combined in one work, because they're quite different in mood and rasa. So, taking that seed verse from Sura Damodar and what that evoked in Mahaprabhu, and he wrote his Radha Madhava, Nita Madhava, in which that wonderful verse emerged. I don't know. Context again, he's the only one who really understands the infinite, inconceivable, unknowable depths of Lord Gauranga's heart. But he himself is confessing, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna contain. When I chant the holy name of Krishna, I desire millions of tongues, and hearing that name, I desire millions of ears. And in that courtyard, when that name enters into the courtyard of my heart and dances, it makes all the senses materially inert because they're so spiritually alive. Hearing that word, sorry about Sakura, could not contain himself, and he just began to dance. You know, this very sober conversation. He could not control himself. The devotees, when they see someone receiving the mercy and blessings of the Lord, they become too happy. No envy, no enmity among Vaishnava relationships. In Vrindavan, which is our final abode and ultimate home, has that quality because it's a family, loving family. That's what Srila Prabhupada established, loving family. So, he could read the emotions on the face of the Lord, from which he could understand his heart. And he sang the appropriate verse. Now I've regained the Lord of my heart, in whose absence I was being burned by Cupid, and was withering away. Hearing that verse, and that evoked the sentiments that he came here to experience, which we were discussing last night, the Lord's intro. The external, establishing Harinam Sankirtan as Yuga Dharma, is easy to analyze in terms of his instructions, his internal journey in which he invites us to participate. It's something we do not discuss so openly or freely because it is very intimate and esoteric, but simultaneously innocent and sweet, as the King's Blessed Spirit. So, inspired by the manner in which Sarupdhamana understood his mood and incited that ecstasy. Because this is the period of Gambhira Lila, where Srila Mahaprabhu in the Gambhira, beyond night, he'd just be pressing his head against the walls, trying to get through, trying to get out to meet with Krishna. It was like Jatila's house, which was a prison to Srimati. And Mahaprabhu then moves, where's the door? And there's three doors that are locked from the outside. He just presses his head against the wall and trying to find the door and bruises on his moonlight face. And if Govinda, who is outside the third door, heard that his chanting stopped, he would get sort of down and early open the doors, and sometimes he'd get there, sometimes he'd go on. Many lilas transpired. But Rath Yatra, which people take this to be a very spiritual festival, a great merit. And it has the inner dimension of revealing the very essence of Mahaprabhu's heart. But it also reconciles that conflict between the exclusive nature of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is presenting worship of Radha and Krishna, in a word of Aishwarya, but still such an intimate service to the personal form of the Lord is something which is generally revealed at the heights of spiritual attainment. And therefore traditionally Indian temples have excluded Malechas and Yavanas, those bereft of the spiritual culture and the reformatory processes from even entering or even seeing the deity. You don't have a proper adhikar. Mahaprabhu's mercy, multiplied by Srila Prabhupada's grace, has awarded some qualification if we take it very seriously. And Lord Jagannath's coming out of the temple to award his personal darshan and bestow his mercy upon all the inhabitants of the kingdom is an aspect of great mercy. And by the unique quality and nature of his personal form, you can't really take him to be an ordinary person. Because he's in that Mahabhav. Here, in Dwarka, Braj Leela, Krishna and Balarama's marriages with Druids, their bodies, and Subhadra was posted at the door. You could hear him at that time. Balarama was inside. Subhadra was guarding the door, lest Krishna hear. But Balarama's limbs began to withdraw. Subhadra hearing it did the same thing, and then when Krishna came, she couldn't stop him. He eavesdropping, hearing Braj Leela the same thing. His limbs just withdrew inside his body like a tortoise. Anyway, so he's obviously, that's the one of the dangers of unqualified persons approaching the deity. He's an ordinary person. Ordinary boy and girl. You look at Jagannath, they're obviously not ordinary. So he has the advantage of going out on his chariot, revealing himself to the world, which helps reconcile that conflict between the spirit of sublime liberality, of Krishna wanting to bring everyone to Vrindavan, and the exclusive nature which protects and guards against offenses that would inhibit that inward journey. So when Lord Jagannath came out, and when Gaudiya Vaishnavas would come down and have Mahaprabhu's association for Chaturmasya. And Lord Jagannath was riding down the road on his chariot, the wide road covered with white sand took him back to the bank of Jamuna and the nice gardens on the side of the road with Vrindavan. And then he was thinking, as he's riding on his chariot, I'm coming home. Seeing Lord Jagannath in that mood, Lord Chaitanya became very excited. He decorated his devotees accordingly with nice flower garlands and flowers and different decorations. And he arranged them in formations, seven Sankirtan parties surrounding the chariot. And then, as Krishna has had expanded previously in Rasa Lila, he expanded within the seven groves. And then he folded his palms in humble supplication and prayed to Lord Jagannath in the world of Amini Bhaira Gurdamani Zayata Jagannathai Krishna Gurdamani Monaha. And his mind, thinking of Krishna as the protector of the cows and the Brahmins, but Chaitanya's mind was also drifting back to Vrindavan. And this dance, the pleasure of Lord Jagannath, made the whole earth plant with the seas and mountains begin to dance in rhythm to his drama. Now remember, the million or so pilgrims are just saying this is a religious festival. This is like Kurukshetra. The Rishis are thinking this is a ritualistic performance, which is true on one level. But within that context, something unprecedented, profound is unfolding. And Lord Jagannath was very astonished, amazed and enchanted to see the grace in which Lord Chaitanya is dancing in such a manner as to evoke and enhance the loving beliefs in his own heart. And Lord Jagannath was thinking, I have never seen such dancing as this. That's when Suradamada, responding to Mahaprabhu's cue to death, to death, to sin. Because Suradamada could always detect the Lord's exact mood and sing a verse that would specifically enhance that. Now I've gained the Lord of my heart in his ashes that is being burned by Cupid and is withering away. That verse opened the door, and Lord Chaitanya began to enact in whole drama of the previous meeting in Kurukshetra with all its exalted emotions and tragic ordeals to convey the meaning. He employed a host of emotional symptoms, and the Astra Saptaka Bhagavata began to decorate the Lord's features to such an extent that Lord Jagannath stopped blinking and watched with wide open eyes the whole drama of his heart unfolding on the road to Vindhyacha. And there's millions of pilgrims who have no idea what was going on, but were still receiving some merit by some vicarious means. That one person, Krishna, manifests himself in two forms, as the Vishaya, the object of love, Lord Divina, and the Ashraya, the shelter, the abode of that love. Sri Gauranga, who's in the mood of Srimati Radharani at this time, an immortal event that's unfolding within 3 dinners on time, it's in place. Dwarka's king, who's being petitioned by a cowherd girl, come home, because my heart is breaking. His heart, beating in great anticipation, is pleading with Lord Jagannath. Dwarka's king, being instructed by a cowherd girl. Lord Chaitanya, raising his arms in the air, pleaded. That same personality who stole away my heart in my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of Chaitra, same sweet breeze blowing from the Kadamba forest. And yet, in this meeting, my mind is not happy, because here you do not appear as that mischievous, charming, simple gopa. You're dressed like a king, surrounded by powerful warriors with dangerous weapons, mounted on mighty horses and huge elephants, and the clatter of the sound of rattling chariots, clattering armor, roaring elephants, is not pleasing or conducive, as is the humming of bees and the singing of birds, which is characteristic of birds. So, I want to revive that relationship. And a competition is evolving between Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya. And it's becoming evident who is more powerful. Because mightier than all armies in weaponry is the power of love and compassion to which Lord Jagannath was submitting. So hearing that appeal, that I take you back to Vrindavan, Lord Jagannath replied, yes, that's a good idea, but we're here now. We're back together. Why delay our meeting for so long by your journey to Vrindavan? Lord Chaitanya replied, because everybody here is in the mood of a ritualistic ceremony. And Vrindavan excels Vaikuntha by its pleasing facilities for loving pastimes. And then the mood of the gopis, Mahaprabhu prayed, oh dear Lord, whose navel is like a lotus, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into this deep, dark well of material existence. We pray that those lotus feet be impressed within our hearts. Although we're ordinary, only ordinary, unqualified persons. So Lord Vibhanath asked. First you wanted me to place my lotus feet in Vrindavan. Now you're saying to place them in your heart. Which do you mean, and what do you want? Mahaprabhu replied, for most people, the mind and heart are one. My heart is no different from Vrindavan. So my two apparently different requests are actually one and the same. He said, well, I sent Uddhava to teach you Jnana Yoga and Jnana Yoga so that you could focus your mind on me. Hearing that, Lord Chaitanya stopped dancing. He put his hand on his hips and became a little angry with Lord Chaitanya. There's no place in my mind for Jnana Yoga or Jnana Yoga. You know me. You know my feelings. You keep bringing up the same issues, meditating on you. Lord Chaitanya said, but these are approved methods of self-realization. Why are you criticizing and rejecting them? Lord Chaitanya argued, because the Brijavasis have spontaneous affection for you. These mechanistic means of trying to control their minds would simply be an impediment. They would interpret it as some kind of duplicity. And rather than increasing their love, they would just become more angry with you. It's not my plea. I'm speaking on behalf of Jamuna, Govardhan, the cows. Krishna, I know that you're a refined gentleman. There's no tinge of fault to be found in you. But it appears that you're very cruel. That you're neglecting them. That you've forgotten their love. Their sacrifice. They raised you, nurtured you, and protected you. And you've seen you have just forgotten that. I don't know, I don't mind my own agony. And for this, the gopis are praised by their willingness to go to hell, to give Krishna the dust of the lotus feet to place on his head for his imaginary headache. And Narada Muni asked, do you know the destination of one who puts the dust of their feet on the head of the Lord? Eternal damnation. You don't mind? No. Not if it gives Krishna some temporary relief. So, Lord Chaitanya, I was singing that I don't mind my personal distress. I don't mind you keeping me in hell. But when I see the pitiful faces of your mother and father, the broken hearts of the gopas, I wonder, do you want to kill them all? Or are you just keeping them barely alive for the sake of some last-minute appearance which will revive them just in the nick of time? Is that your intent, Krishna? Lord Jagannath is becoming extremely moved at this point. And he said, try to consider my circumstance. I had to leave Raj because there were powerful demons that would come there and attack you all. I had to leave for your sake.
Of course, that's alluding to something much deeper. That they were feeling more separation in his presence than they would in their absence, but he was just talking about the demons to keep it simple.
It is my misfortune being dislocated. And you don't know the grief that affects my heart. Cry praying day and night in separation from the Brijavasis. No one knows my suffering, and with whom can I share it? And then Lord Jagannath stops his chariot in the middle of the road and told Lord Chaitanya that friends like you in my life and soul, the gopis are my life and soul. You are the life of my life. Lord Jagannath continued to reveal the secrets within his own heart, which had never before been expressed, lacking the proper environment and circumstance. And he said, I worship Lord Narayan to keep you and me alive. And by his merciful nature, I go there every day to enjoy pastime with you. You see me coming before you and approaching you, dressed like a gopa, decorated with peacock feather, forest garlands, buffalo horn, and flute, and you think it is only a dream. Lord Chaitanya is very pleased to hear this. You mean it's not a dream? No. It's not imagination. I come there every day and we enjoy pastimes, and very soon you will see that it is real. But she said, no, not soon, now. Vrindavan is dying without you. Which I said, but there's still two demons I have to dispel of. But Lord Jagannath is becoming very, very anxious, very eager. And as the anticipation excelled the power of the gopis who were pulling the chariot, the ropes went slack and the chariot began moving very quickly, as it does even these days during Ratha Yatra. It has a mind of its own. And then he spoke an important verse, which gave great solace to Lord Chaitanya, who is articulating the mood of all the gopis, all the Brijavasis. Lord Jagannath spoke a verse that soothed all their sufferings and gave them great assurance. Devotional service is the only way to attain me. Because Lord Krishna was considering himself a debtor to the Brijavasis. He was unable to reciprocate their love, the extent to which they had sacrificed for his pleasure. But now, as Lord Jagannath is thinking, I'm going home. He distributed his mercy in the form of Brajbhakti through his instructions, his associates, his pastimes, and most of all, the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada took that essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. So as Rupa Goswami was the only one who could really understand the depths of the Lord's heart, which is so profound because we can't even understand our own lives. But to speak of something so difficult as a spouse's heart, which is perplexing to everyone, who can understand the heart of the Lord, who knows everyone who has ever existed, what they have done, what they're doing, and what they will do. Not like a computer, just keeping data and knowing data of the future, but knowing the feelings, the moods, the longings, the yearnings, the aspirations, the traumas, the frustrations, the hurts. He knows it all. He feels it. Such is the depth of his heart. Who can understand such things? Which is why Mahaprabhu is so astonished. How could Rupa Goswami understand my heart? So he asked the only other one who could, Srip Damodar. Only by your mercy. Mahaprabhu said, yes, his simplicity, his humility, his sincerity touched my heart. And by my embrace, I proudly embraced the contents of, I conferred the contents of my heart unto him. There is a striking parallel in recent history. You see, hearing that verse of Srip Damodar and the next verse was heard from Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, because he was excommunicated from Hindu society. He had to stay with Haridas Thakur. So he went back to Haridas's hut and wrote some more verses to follow the same flow of bhava as the ones he'd heard about Vyatra. Put it in the roof of the hut and went to bathe in the sea. While he was bathing, Mahaprabhu came there, pulled out the leaf, looked at it, showed it to Srip Damodar. The writing was so beautiful, like many strings of pearls. But the contents was astounding. How could he understand the depths of my heart? What in relatively recent history parallels this? Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja offering, which revealed how he understood the heart of his spiritual master. In one verse, which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati showed to all the other devotees, and they affirmed, yes, he has received your mercy because he can understand the depths of your heart. What was the verse? Absolute is sentient, that is true, and personal calamity thus removed. So, Lord Chaitanya gave four basic realms of instruction to Rupa Goswami, which was shared by the other Goswamis, to establish temples and to very authoritatively practice and teach the worship of Krishna, to reveal holy places which have long been lost, to write books, backing the principles of bhakti with strong logic and scientific reasoning, and to set a perfect example. If you look at Srila Prabhupada's life, the parallels of that of Rupa Goswami are striking. Destined to be one of the richest men in India as a grihastha, providing instructions of his spiritual master, he took up the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Mahaprabhu would have said before, for Rupa Goswami, now renounce Vrindavan. And what wealth he had, he filled the whole boat. But she divided up half for family members, one quarter for emergencies, which mainly went to Sanatana Goswami in his crisis. And one fourth will be distributed to the Vaishnavas in charity. And then Rupa Goswami moved to Vrindavan. As Srila Prabhupada went to Vrindavan to live at the Samadhi Mandir of Rupa Goswami, where he would be heard by the neighbors calling out in great anguish of heart, pleading, "Hey Rupa, hey Guru Dev, bestow upon me your mercy." The task is so demanding, but by your mercy, anything and everything is possible. And then the same instructions imparted to Rupa Goswami, fulfilled by them, were expanded by Srila Prabhupada. The six Goswamis, it's really eight Goswamis, but Gopinath Goswami, Bhugarbhas Goswami are so humble they didn't want to be mentioned. They established the major temples of Vrindavan. He revealed the holy places of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada revealed Vrindavan to the whole world. Brought the whole world to Vrindavan. Not physically only, but by preparing your consciousness. By what's condensed here in the Shikshastra. Beginning by cleansing the mirror of the heart. And then realizing that Lord Krishna's mercy in the form of his descent, with all his transcendental, potencies, including that of Braj Bhakti, which Srila Bhakti Sarasvati says, Srila Prabhupada likes to quote from Bodhananda Sarasvati, who with great bhav, rising from his heart, is so gifted at conveying our fortune. That most exalted path of devotional service, not in the spirit of Aishwarya, majesty, but Braj Bhakti. The world had previously never considered that that is the goal and result of proper chanting of the holy name. Entrance into those sweet and holy groves of Braj, which no one ever previously conceived was even possible or accessible. In the infinite depths of the nectar-sweet love which Srimati Radharani feels for Krishna, which no one could ever grasp before, which sages of yore could never know, and even Shukadev could not reveal, and Prahlad could not attain, and the intellect can never know. All these things, never offered before, have been distributed, planted like seeds in the soil of this earth. Which gradually began to sprout here and there. They're growing more consistently, covering the earth, enhancing that deep desire of Lord Rama, that the holy, who wove that garland of the holy name and praying to encompass all the earth. So in Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, emphatic declare that literally, not figuratively, not symbolically, literally, the holy name would spread to every town and village of the world. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas could not take it seriously. How could the holy name, non-different from Krishna himself, in his most intimate feature of a gopa, of Braj, how could that realization, how could that adhikar, how could that revelation spread through the Western countries, bereft of reformatory processes and Vedic culture? They concluded it was impossible. Or they rationalized that the world means part of Varsha, India. It'll spread every time to go to India. Western world, he never meant that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati insisted. He did. And Srila Prabhupada took it to heart. He made that instruction his life and soul. And Rupa Goswami was instructed by Lord Chaitanya to put the books. And Srila Prabhupada was really his life and soul. Reveal the places of pilgrimage, which he did even in the Western. He made places of pilgrimage. Because sadhus, saintly persons of such caliber, are places of pilgrimage personified. They carry Krishna in their heart and can reveal him and share him and install him. Because Krishna is subservient to the love of his devotees. Vrindavan Chandra. Up here in the hills of West Virginia. Because Srila Prabhupada's will, his prayers, his desire are so pure and compassionate that the Lord himself takes upon his own shoulders the task of fulfilling them. So to be a Rupa Nuga means to understand the heart of the Lord and the Guru. And take fulfilling their instruction and bringing them pleasure as one's life and soul. We have the most ideal role model in Srila Prabhupada, who simplified the vast instructions into something that was believable and practical. And he emphasized that just do as I do. You know, chant for 16 rounds. Serve Vaishnavas. Avoid offenses. And try to share the precious gift, the inconceivable treasure of Brajbhakti, which was never offered before, but has been placed in our hands. And Srila Prabhupada has requested, this is a beautiful visualization. As the devotees started going on Vajmandala Purgama and realizing, you know, some of the distances like Mathura and Vrindavan are really not that fast, but it took the prayer all day galloping in his chariot. Whereas, you know, Krishna taking the cows from Nandigram to Govardhan is actually quite a long distance, which he would do every morning. So our three-dimensional concept of geography and distance and time are not correlating with the Srimad Bhagavatam's descriptions. And Srila Prabhupada, with his focused hands, said the Dhamma is like a lotus, which can contract or unfold to facilitate Krishna's bhajan. But just imagine being in the palm of Srila Prabhupada's hand. Or to carry his own sentiment of being a puppet, to dance according in his prayer to Sri Guru, Sri Guru, I'm just your puppet, and if you like, make me dance according to your desire. And God needs that realm where all motion is dance. Communication is all song, and everything is activated and infused with love by the all-pervading sound of Krishna's flute. All these gems of realization, wisdom, and potential are contained in seed form in the holy name, which Lord Gauranga planted within the soil of this earth. Srila Prabhupada cultivated and left a legacy of love for us to continue. And by doing so, we will be good to others and good to ourselves. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? I was actually going to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, but we didn't get to it. If anybody wants to see what we were going to talk about today, just turn to page 1776 in one volume edition, which is Rupa Goswami's meeting with the Lord.
that seed verse.
May the son of Bodhisattva, be transcendentally situated in the core of your hearts, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He is descended in sage of Kali, who bestowed what no avatar has ever offered before, the most splendid and radiant gem of devotion service, that of Ujjvala Ras, which means Prajapati. That's the benediction in the invocation of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was supposed to be a topic today. Any questions or comments? That's what Srila Prabhupada said. You know, Krishna Bhakti has been taught since time immemorial, consistently in the world. Rupa Goswami, who is Rupa Manjari, intimate maidservant of the late Devi, who knows Srimati Radharani, is teaching us. Radhadasa. You can please Krishna most by serving the servants of the servants. Ultimately, to please Srimati Radharani, will approach Krishna and say, please accept this devotee. He's better than me. Krishna has to accept. Srila Prabhupada said, if we don't recommend it, it should not. But she won't accept anybody who's not recommended to her, but Lord Prabhupada. And he won't accept anybody who's not recommended to him, like Gurudev. And Gurudev's not pleased if we're not harmonious enough to accept the Vaishnavas. So sambandha means relationship with the environment. Krishna consciousness is a holistic dynamic. You have to take everything in perspective. And that's what the God is. It's a synergy. And that's why Srila Prabhupada so much warned us. Don't fight. Don't quarrel amongst yourselves. This movement can only be strengthened, never weakened, by outside forces trying to crush, destroy, or halt the mission. They only make us stronger if we take shelter of Krishna. That's perfectly evident in Srila Prabhupada's own lila. This movement can only be weakened by, you know, there's hot war where everybody's fighting, there's cold war where you don't fight, you just don't look at each other and speak to each other and take prasad together and dance together in kirtan. They're both weakening, undermining the pillars of our success. And what is it? False ego. Krishna demands surrender. Well, what do we have to surrender? We all have one possession. It's called false ego. And you're supposed to surrender in humility. That's all that Krishna means. It's just surrender. So intimidated by the term, where you're so proud, thinking, I have so much to give. What do you have to give up? False ego. So Krishna demanded surrender. Lord Chaitanya is just giving himself freely. During the time of this lila, the whole universe was liberated. But he left the seeds of that same potential for anyone who would. It's not automatic, as it was then, that everyone, even those who avoided him, opposed him, neglected him, just see the person surrender. He assisted his. They all went to, at least to my group, it was ordinarily very difficult to attain. But those who had the slightest devotion to him were eligible for Braj Bhakti, which is never accessible, but through by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But it was automatic. Everyone in the universe went back to home. We missed that opportunity. I mean, shattered in some universe somewhere. I had a slight miscalculation, just missed. We didn't really. The same potential is there in the instructions. There's a slight fee. You have to follow the regular principles and perform the sadhana, which is such an insignificant request for such an inconceivable attainment. I think it's so difficult changing our rounds as Rupa Goswami is praying. We have millions of dollars and millions of years to properly reciprocate the holy name. So we're back to the first verse of success. You have to cleanse the mirror of the heart. We can't see the holy Dham because Lord Nityananda says it's covered by a thin film of material energy. It's not really over the Dham, it's really over our hearts. And it can be cleansed away by humility, which is our invitation to the Lord to fulfill what he says in Bhagavatam. Shimbatasa Pratakrishna Kanishana Kirtanam Pirantas If we just surrender and invite the Lord to enter, he himself from within. Gundicha Martin is a beautiful visualization of this process. The Lord within takes upon himself the process of cleansing. The gross, the subtle, all the pride and arrogance and enmity and envy, furies of anger, filth of ego, he just cleanses it all away if we attentively chant his holy name with the same care and attention with which he cleanses the Gundicha temple. Then the Lord will come, take up his seat there, and reveal that the holy Dham is also within the heart. Any other questions, comments? I didn't know which calendar we were going by. So today we're observing the appearance of Bhagavad Gita. Very appropriate, thank you for bringing that up. Bhagavad Gita is the seed of the sprout which grew in Lord Chaitanya's heart and lila. And Srila Prabhupada explains very simply that in the Madhva Sampradaya, up until the time of Lakshmipati Tirtha, there was no real Braj Bhakti being taught and practiced. It was Aishwarya, no real Madhurya in the sense of Braj Bhakti, Ujjvalaras. Is absent. And even in the Mark Sampradaya, which has some focus on Radha and Krishna, does not have that Manjari Bhava, which is the essence of the Das, Das, Anadas, in which Lord Karanga identifies himself. Madhavendra Puri was the seed of the tree of Lord Gauranga's mission. And that was, there again, last words conveys the essence of a Vaishnava's heart and will. As he was on his deathbed, preparing the final journey to conquest, in great anguish of heart, he was calling out, "O my Lord, most merciful Master, Master Mata, when will I see you again? On account of not seeing you, my agitated heart is broken. What shall I do now?" And Srila Prabhupada points out an important contrast. two important disciples were present at that time, amongst others. There is Ishvarapuri, who, such an exalted soul, took his greatest delight in the service of menially caring for his spiritual master in his inward day, Lila, doing the most menial service. And apparently invalid. So when he heard that verse, as he did to serve his guru all along, especially up to the final, culminating with the final hour, always chanting Krishna's name and pastimes for the pleasure of his gurudev, which he continued doing, when he was entering deep into that separation which Srimati Radharani articulated in that verse as Akrura is taking Krishna away to Mathura. By her mercy, that same bhav and lila was blossoming in his heart just as he was leaving this world. And Ishvarapuri was enhancing that with his narration of the lila and singing of the names of Krishna. And Madhavendrapuri, although in terrible anguish of heart, because of its transcendental nature, its most exalted ecstasy. And Ramachandrapuri, who we should not criticize because he's Jatila, who why are you crying? Have you forgotten that you're made of Ananda? That you are Brahman? Are you lamenting? You are Brahman! And Madhavendrapuri just reached the pinnacle of perfection for the final step of the spiritual hearing. That you're Brahman, why are you lamenting? Get him out of here. If I die seeing his face, I will not attain my goal. Remember, he's Jatila, so he shouldn't be critical, but very important instruction. And then one follow-up. Madhavendrapuri blessed Ishvarapuri. May you attain that most exalted love of Krishna. He blessed Ramachandrapuri. Get out of my sight. What was the effect? Ishvarapuri, so much embodied love and desire within the heart of this guru, he became the gurudev of Srimad Mahaprabhu himself. Because Mahaprabhu in his humility would not introduce something not taught and practiced by the previous acharyas. So Ishvarapuri was empowered by bringing pleasure to his gurudev. Ramachandrapuri became a critic. He was so critical of everything and everyone that he became completely obsessed with serving the Vaishnavas. He would find out the secrets of what every Vaishnava liked to eat, and he would prepare a feast and with his own hands serve that Vaishnava, inducing him by gestures of love and affection and kindness and hospitality to eat more and more and more. And when they just couldn't eat any more for his pleasure, he would begin criticizing. I have heard how these Gaudiya Vaishnavas eat too much. And Krishna says, if you eat too much or too little, you can't be a yogi. Now I've seen with my own eyes what I've heard before. And he was watching Mahaprabhu. Where's the fault? He couldn't find any fault, but he was very determined. There's an old German story. A man was chopping wood in a snowstorm, and it was snowing so hard as he was chopping wood, his axe was lost under the snow. Couldn't find it. Did I lose it? Did somebody steal it? He thought the neighbor's boy might have stolen it. The boy looked like a thief, he acted like a thief, and he talked like a thief. But as the snow started to melt and he saw his axe was right where he left it, the boy looked just like any other boy. Our consciousness affects our thoughts, which determines our actions.
which affects our environment. Anyway,
Ramachandra Puri, very determined to find some fault in Kundi for the longest time.
Because Mahaprabhu reduced his eating dramatically. And he criticized that.
But then the real evidence was when he saw the ants. He saw ants walking into the country. He said, this is the proof. This sannyasi is indulging in sweets behind locked doors. Because there's ants. Well, ants are here, there, and everywhere. Just because they were walking into the Gambir to receive some mercy does not indicate that the Lord is indulging. But he's so critical. And the Vaishnava says, get him out of here. He says, no, he's giving me good advice. He's my friend. I should be blessed. Mahaprabhu reduces eating to such an extent that the Vaishnava is suffering so miserably. Seeing him deprived of the pleasure that they were able to offer him, extending their invitations of hospitality, and the prasad which they cooked, infused and flavored with the affections of their own hearts. They were deprived of that reciprocation. And they were just, I can't just, no.
But because of that fault-finding mentality, he was miserable amongst the Vaishnavas. And finally just left Puri. And it was like the Vaishnavas were carrying a huge boulder upon their heads. And when Ramachandra Puri left, it was like it fell off. And they could again begin offering Mahaprabhu all their love and affection in their offerings of prasadam. But Madhavendra Puri was that seed of that Vujulavas. These sentiments of Srimati Radharani first appeared in this world and in the Madhva Sampradaya, in his life, and which became verbalized in his final prayer, which is the prayer of Srimati Radharani, articulating the feelings of all the Vrijavasis. Oh my Lord, most merciful Master, how do I see you again? And I kind of see you, my heart is burning. Where shall I turn now? It is that kind of separation, which is the very essence of the love which Mahaprabhu came to experience and share with the world. But in his humility, he would not introduce something new. He inspired Madhavendra Puri to come before. Madhavendra Puri is a Kalpavriksha who came to this world to plant the seed of his own fruit. And I didn't know which calendar we were going by, so if today we're observing, that's quite appropriate. Of course, it's also very interesting that where does that Radha Bhav, where does that Manjari Bhav originate? Everything originates with Gurudev. And no one is accepted by Srimati Radharani to her camp unless recommended by Baladev. Madhavendra Puri is spiritual master of Lakshmi Bhaktivedanta. He is such a devoted servant of Lord Baladev that he would have intense dreams about him. So when Lord Nityananda was on his pilgrimage and came to the village where Lakshmi Bhaktivedanta was staying, he appeared in a dream to Lakshmi Bhaktivedanta, where Balaram told him, an ascetic boy will come to you tomorrow and ask for the mantra. Deliver him with this mantra. And Baladev spoke the mantra into the ears of Lakshmi Bhaktivedanta. In the morning, Lord Nityananda came very humbly to his door. Please deliver me with that mantra. And Lakshmi Bhaktivedanta initiated Lord Nityananda with the mantra with which he was initiated the night before by Lord Baladev. And it was his disciple who was Madhavendra Puri, whose disciple was Ishwara Puri, whose disciple was Srimad Mahaprabhu.
So nothing of substance can begin or expand without the blessings of Gurudev, and even the Lord himself honors this principle and will not deviate from it. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada, thank you.
Thank you. Do you need some honey from Lord Bala? Your throat was, I got you some honey. It's Lord Bala and Maha.